It's been wonderful to worship the Lord in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I believe from my heart that praise is a part of the worship of our God.
Amen.
And I believe that that is only to those that have been quickened, made alive by His grace. Find in the scripture, blessed are they that know the joyful sound.
Amen.
We've heard the joyful sound. And our hearts and minds and all this within us will never be satisfied except it be the joyful sound. We've been given the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to understand the truth as it has been preached to us down through the ages. David praised the Lord in the Psalms. He was worshiping the Lord. And so many times we neglect to praise our God. We neglect to come when we have every advantage to come. And we sum it up by saying, well, that's enough. But you know, I don't believe we can praise our God enough. He's worthy of all of our praise. He and He alone is worthy. We cannot glory in ourselves, but in the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture found in the 5th chapter of Deuteronomy. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. He's addressing Israel. Hear, O Israel. He says, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. I believe that's pretty close to what we expect in this day and time from God's ministers, from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says that you may learn them and keep and do them.
Yeah.
It's a learning process. We can read the Bible over and over and we still learn something different than what we started out with. I believe part of it is our maturity in years. And the closer we get to the end, as one brother said, the sweeter it is. Because we're longing for a country. Just as Israel looked for a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But I want us to think this morning about what he says here. He says, which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Many times we fail to keep. We fail to keep them, then we fail to do them. The word of the Lord was so precious unto the prophet David. He says, I love thy law. I love thy word. You know, if you love the word of the Lord, I believe you're going to love the Lord himself.
Yeah.
The precious Son of God. The Spirit of the true and the living God. He says in verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. That's a little bit different from a lot that we read in the Word of God. The gospel is being passed down from one generation to another. But notice what he's saying here. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And the older generation failed to believe. They didn't believe the Lord was going to bring them out. Although he brought them out, they still didn't believe. They had so much unbelief within their very hearts. And they, so many times, wearied Moses. They came to him being the leader, and they vexed his soul. They said, why hast thou brought us out of Egypt into this land? We're going to die. We don't have water. You know, they was really questioning God's power. They was really complaining to God. And when you complain to God, the results can be death sometimes. And those that sought to come out of Egypt, but they failed to believe. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe Moses, God's servant. And they perished. They didn't receive what we today would call the joy of thy salvation. They didn't see. They weren't able to go over and possess the promised land. Not because of God, but because of unbelief.
That's right.
But we find a wonderful ending to this. He says, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. He says, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers. Notice what the writer is saying here. Notice what history bears out, if you please. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. There's sorrow and there's a wonderful peace in this scripture. The Israelites didn't enter in, but he's telling us something special. He says, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day, above 20 years old and upward. God bless them to enter in to the land that He promised them, a land of milk and honey, a land where they could rejoice in their God. Verse 4, the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me.
Amen.
First commandment.
That's right.
Why was that so important? Because they had already began to worship other gods. Forsook the Lord God that they had seen to work so mightily among them, and then have the audacity to say unto the people, these be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Oh, how awful of a sight it is when we worship other gods. Gods that cannot taste, feel, can't talk to us, but we're still in our mind are worshiping them. Israel had this problem. God says, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, he didn't stop right there, but he describes the Lord. I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Didn't stop there either. What's the next few lines? Of them that love me and keep my commandments. God loves His people. God loves to see His people keep His commandments. Not the traditions of men, but the commandments of God. Plain and simple. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. I've been reading a lot in the Bible down through the years, but notice about keeping the Sabbath. It didn't just stop with saying what he said here, keep the Sabbath. It didn't just tell them to keep the Sabbath, but he says, as the Lord thy God, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Sanctify it. That's how we keep the Sabbath day. That's how they kept the Sabbath day. And I realize this is under the law worship service, if you please, and we're living in a better day. But I believe God's children that love the name of the Lord love to keep His commandments, to sanctify it. How do we, what does it mean to sanctify it? Set it apart.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Set it apart.
Amen.
Don't find thine own pleasure within it, but to set it apart. Just as this time of this meeting has been set apart. God commands us to sanctify it. Set it apart. And those of us that have had this wonderful experience of coming out to the house of the Lord, we've set it apart. And it's a great joy and peace in knowing these things. It's a great peace, not just knowing them, but doing them, sanctifying them. We're only sanctifying what the Lord has already sanctified. Not commanded to sanctify something new, but to sanctify the Sabbath day. Sanctify your worship. Set it apart. Come out from the vain things of this life, our troubles, our cares, and sanctify it. And you'll be able to rejoice in it, because God has already sanctified it. He's telling us now, you sanctify it. You set it apart, because you have a heart that God reigns within, that we can sanctify it. May God bless you with these truths, my prayer.